Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man program show here on Wednesday, the 13th of July. And I am your host tonight, the Miracle Man, coming to you from here in Midland, Michigan, where I live. And it is always a blessing to be with you every time I get a chance to be with you here in the, here on the air. It's something that I don't take for granted and I always thank God for. And I don't make light of it either. My hope is that whatever you're doing, wherever you're doing it, my hope is that whatever you're doing, that you're just, I'm just grateful that you would tune in tonight, wherever you're tuning in from, however you found us, and I'm just grateful that you would make that determination. And just glad to be with you. And so that's that. Well, for it being July 13th, the weather the last couple of days hasn't necessarily felt like July after getting off to a roaring start in a lot of places. And down in Texas, it still is. And in fact, they've been asking for people to, unfortunately, they have not, they have asked people to cut down on their use of AC because they claim it uses too much, you know. Where was all that stored energy from years ago is my question. Where is it? Where did it go? And renewables can't fix it. They just want control. That's what they want. That's why they're trying to take away our beloved AC units. Because in my mind, cold AC is actually a rite of passage on a hot summer day. Don't you like super cold AC or not so much, Brittany?
You know, it really just depends. I don't love it really cold, but when I'm working, like cleaning my house, I like the AC to be cold. But when I'm sleeping, it gets me all, you know, in my face and it hurts.
Even if it's like 95 degrees out?
Yeah. I mean, I still want it to be cold, but not overly cold.
Yeah, which makes sense, because it makes sense, because obviously, obviously everybody has a limit. Everybody, I mean, everybody's going to have a limit. They're going to. And what might be one person's limit might be another person's true comfort level. So that's just how it is now. If you got the sun coming in at the same time, that can help balance it out. Because sometimes if an AC is cold, can it almost make a place almost feel dark?
Yeah.
Like on a hot summer day, like if you don't have sun coming in through windows. But if you have sun coming in through windows, I can see what really balances it out. Because then you got the cold going, but you also have the sun coming in. As long as the dew point isn't 78 degrees, more like 84 degrees even, or 82 or whatever. And believe it or not, the highest recorded dew point in America that's actually been registered was actually somewhere in Minnesota. It was not in Florida like you would think. It wasn't in Louisiana. It wasn't in Texas. It wasn't in Alabama. It was Minnesota. That's a shocker, isn't it? And in Wisconsin. And there was a tie for it in Iowa. And part of that could be these cornfields, because corn sweats like how we do. And if you have a weather station that's on a cornfield, it makes sense that it would raise the dew point, which is one of possibly the best way we have to measure the amount of moisture in the air. You know, on a hot day, and like if the dew point, for example, is like 75 plus, to most anyone, that is would be considered quote unquote oppressive. And that's even if it's only like 75, 77, 78 degrees. And so, and I almost feel like the higher the humidity, the higher the dew point is, the lower you should turn down that AC. By that I mean a lower temperature or whatever, you know what I mean? Because otherwise that humidity, is going to find a way in. And and some of my favorite cities in America, which are all southern, part of it is based on, you know, how the humidity is. Part of why I love Chattanooga is, on average, the dew points there don't tend to be as high as, say, a place like Memphis in the same state. Which is in the same state, but on the opposite end, meaning it's on this very south end, next to a border, just like how Chattanooga is. But by Memphis, no mountains, and the Gulf is, I would say about 200, a little bit over 200 miles, or 300 miles or so. Dead due to the south, so in the summer you could basically have like a cesspool of moisture coming right up, making it super humid. Makes sense why I would call it a cesspool, doesn't it? Meaning just all that crazy moisture. No, it wouldn't be as bad if the moisture always smelled like fresh fried chicken. Because I do like me some good old, you know, southern fried chicken. And one of my favorite things about the South is culinary. By culinary, I mean, yes, you know, having to do with food. And so I enjoy it. I enjoy it a lot. I do. It's not just something that I guess. I do enjoy it. All right. I do also want to remind you that Sunday is National Ice Cream Day. So make sure on Sunday you take time to go find yourself some delicious ice cream. So third Sunday of every July. Always. Yeah, the ice cream day is always the third Sunday of July. So make sure to go get yourself some delicious ice cream. All right. Now, I want to remind you, with Invasion being next week, that there will be a show on Monday, but then Tuesday and Wednesday, probably not. Probably not. That's why I say probably like that, because I don't think so. Because during the night that I would be doing the show, I will be at Invasion at night, checking it out, seeing what's going on, you know, seeing what God's doing in the evening services. And so that's about that. The next thing I want to remind you about is about the book, Rivers of Miracles, The Story of My Life, and how great God has been. All the things that God has done, all the things in which God has helped me. And it's just been great to watch God work, to watch God move on my behalf. And I have been very impressed by God and everything that God has done in my life. And I know that he's just going to keep moving for me. But as I keep believing, he's just going to keep moving. And I know this for a fact. It's not something that I take for granted. So praise God for that. You can go online to riversofmiracles.com to find out information about the book and how you can get the book into your hand. Again, that is Rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, of miracles.com for more information about the book. What? I might do it early. Yeah, I'll do it like earlier. Folks, it'll be earlier that I'll do it. It's not going to be at the same time because of Invasion, listeners. Because of Invasion, it's going to end up being earlier. It's not going to be at the same normal time. I'm just letting you know about that. That's all. That's all about it. Just letting you know. It might be earlier. And so I just wanted to let you know. Next thing, but it's riversofmiracles.com is the website for the book. That's riversofmiracles.com in order to get the book in your hand. In your hands, and just let it be a blessing to you. Hallelujah. The other thing I want to remind you about is about sowing a seed into the Miracle Man program. When you sow a seed, it just helps us keep going. Been going for almost 5 years. It'll be 5 years officially on July 25th, unofficially Christmas in July Day. Because Christmas in July is not exactly an official thing. I don't want to say it's made up, but it's not an official holiday. Based on the idea, from what you understand, what's the idea behind Christmas in July? How about those who want Christmas in summer? From what you understood, is that the idea behind it, Brittany?
Yes.
Because the reason for that, listeners, I think, is because in places down below the equator, like Brazil, Chile, and other South American countries, as well as over in Africa, as well as over into Australia, the whole land of Australia, you have it where Christmas, December 25th, is in the summer, basically heading towards the peak of summer. So it's become Christmas in July is more of a thing in the northern hemisphere. In the southern hemisphere, it would be more so maybe for those who prefer Christmas that's a little more wintry. Although most of the places in the southern hemisphere that are inhabited by people, a lot of those places don't really see lots of snow in their winter. Because, so that's just to give you an idea because of how the seasons are flipped. Once you get south of the equator, it's flipped. And so that's what makes sense then why Christmas in July is a thing, but it's not an official thing by any stretch of the imagination. It's more or less for fun. All right. But the next thing I want to remind you of is the PayPal. In order to keep us going, go online to paypal.com. In the search bar, type in Rivers Shukla. That is Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. The last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. Please keep in mind there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. And about that, the first R in Rivers and then the S in Shukla is both capitalized, as well as there being a space between Rivers and Shukla. And as you saw, it just helps keep us going. And this, when you sow into the Miracle Man program, you are sowing into very good ground. You're sowing into good ground. This isn't like, the thorns. Nope. It's good ground here. Amen. And I always pray over your seed. And I pray that you pray. What is that? I pray that you pray over your seed before you sow it. I do. And it's not something I take for granted. Amen. All right. I do want to put a verse into your life, sow a verse into your life. And the one I want to sow tonight comes to us from, of course, the Word of God, and it says this. Okay, it doesn't start off with the word this, but it does say, therefore, God is able to make all things abound toward. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. It's not based on, you know, it's not based on the value of the dollar or whatever currency you live in, because you got to keep in mind that we have listeners tuning in from over 20 different countries on a daily basis. So it's according to his riches and glory. It's not based on the currency. It's not based on the price of gas. It's not based on the world's economy. It's according to his riches and glory. Amen. Amen. So I stand on that. Now I'm going to get into a couple of songs. And then get into the word of the Lord tonight. What does it mean to be his, to be born? Whatever is the way to heaven. Show what it means to be his, to be born in his likeness. Show that we have a purpose to be salt and light in the world, in the world, to be salt and light in the world. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so, say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so, say so. Oh, that the church would arise. Oh, that we would see with Jesus' eyes. We could show the world heaven. Show what it means to be his, to be formed in his likeness. Show them they have a purpose to be salt and light in the world, in the world, to be salt and light in the world. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so, say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, say so. Redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, say so, say so. I am redeemed. 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 Oh, oh, oh. I've been redeemed. I am redeemed. Oh, I am redeemed. I am redeemed. Oh, I am redeemed. Oh, to be salt and light in the world, in the world. To be salt and light in the world. To be salt and light in the world, in the world. To be salt and light in the world. To be salt and light in the world, in the world, in the world, in the world. Let the redeemed of the Lord rise up. Let the redeemed of the Lord rise up. Let the redeemed of the Lord rise up. Rise up, rise up. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so, say so, say so. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Who is this King of Glory? A softly spoken word, revealing things in heaven and all its mysteries. The Lord of earth and heaven, the creator of all things, who is the King of Glory, who offers it to me. His name is Jesus, precious Jesus, Lord Almighty, King of might, King of glory. Who is the King of glory? Who is the King of heaven and all its mysteries? The King of glory, the King. He is the King of glory. He offers it to me. His name is Jesus, precious Jesus, Lord Almighty, King of my heart, King of glory. His name is Jesus, precious Jesus, Lord Almighty, King of my heart, King of glory. The Lord of earth and heaven, the creator of all things, he is the King of glory, he is everything to me. His name is Jesus, precious Jesus, Lord Almighty, King of my heart, King of glory. His name is Jesus, precious Jesus, Lord Almighty, King of my heart, King of glory. His name is Jesus, precious Jesus, Lord Almighty, King of my heart, King of glory. The Lord Almighty, King of my heart, King of glory. Lord Almighty, King of my heart, King of glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The one who made the blind to see is moving here in front of me, moving here in front of me. The one who made the deaf to hear, he's silencing my every fear, silencing my every fear. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. Oh. 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 The one who does impossible is reaching out to make me whole, reaching out to make me whole. The one who put death in its place, his life is flowing through my veins, his life is flowing through my veins. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. Oh. You're the God who was and is to come. The power of the risen one. You're the God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. You're the God who was and is to come. The power of the risen one. You're the God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. You're the God who was and is to come. The power of the risen one. You're the God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. You're the God who was and is to come. The power of the risen one. You're the God who raised the dead to life. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. You are the God who made the blind to see, the God who made the deaf to hear. You silence our fear. Thank you, Lord God, for what you are to us, for who you are to us, for what you're doing in us right now, right here and right now. Thank you for every one of these listeners who has tuned into this broadcast, who is tuned in to learn about you, to learn of your ways, to learn things about you. Thank you, Master, that these people would have determined to tune in tonight so they could learn about you. May they always walk with you. Thank you, Lord God, that you go before us and you hem us in and you help us through these last of the last days. And I thank you, Master, that you're helping us. And now, thank you that these listeners would be tuned in to this word and would not be distracted, that their minds would be alert, that their minds would be alert and receptive, and that they would be focused on you as we study this word tonight. And I thank you for not only what you've done for them, but what you're going to do. And now I make my confession. I say, and now I pray, Master, that you would meet every one of their needs, that you would heal their bodies, strengthen their bodies, that you would heal their minds. May their minds be sharp. Thank you that you would heal their finances, that you would heal every area of their life. And now I make my confession over this program. I say that sponsors and partners would come into this program, that finances would come into this program, that increases in listenership would come into this program. And most importantly of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to take a real quick station ID. I'll be right back in just a second. Praise God. All right, we're back. Let's do our Bible confession and then get into the word of the Lord. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what the word of God says I can have. And I can do what your word says I can do. This Bible is more than a storybook to me. It's more than a religious book to me.
and it is more than a history book to me. Tonight, I am a believer. Therefore, I'm a receiver. And I do believe that I will receive absolutely everything that God has for me tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen, listeners. Do you believe it? Amen. Exodus chapter 6. Woo! Amen. Exodus 6. We're going to continue on with Moses. I want to begin with verse 6. Exodus 6, 6. Now, I want to encourage you for the next little while, whatever I do here where I'm at, you do wherever you are, whether you're at home, whether you're on the beach, whatever. And so if I pray, you pray. If I sing, you sing. Whatever. Now, Exodus 6, 6. Hope you found it by now. I'm going to begin reading. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and the mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land that I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and cruel bondage. So the Lord said to Moses, go tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the Israelites go out of his country. Moses said to the Lord, If the Israelites will not listen to me, why would Pharaoh listen to me? Since I speak with faltering lips. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron about the Israelites and Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he commanded them to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. These were the head of their families. And then it gets into the names, which, I'm going to skip all these names. It's a lot of names. So on. Verse 26, it was this same Aaron and Moses to whom the Lord said, bring the Israelites up out of Egypt by their divisions. They were the ones who spoke to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, about bringing the Israelites up out of Egypt. It was the same Moses and Aaron. Verse 28. Now when the Lord spoke to Moses in Egypt, he said to him, I am the Lord. Tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, everything that I tell you. But Moses said to the Lord, since I speak with faltering lips, Why would Pharaoh listen to me? Chapter 7. Then the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you like God to Pharaoh. And your brother Aaron will be your prophet. You are to say everything that I command you. And your brother Aaron is to tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go out of his country. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart. And though I multiply my miraculous signs and wonders in Egypt, he will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt, the mighty acts of judgment that I will bring in my dimensions, my people, the Israelites, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring the Israelites out of it. Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded them. Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron was 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh. Verse 8, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, when Pharaoh says to you, perform a miracle, say to Aaron, take your staff, throw it down before Pharaoh. It will become a snake. Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh. They just said the Lord commanded. Aaron threw his staff down in front of Pharaoh. And his officials, it became a snake. Pharaoh then summoned wise men and sorcerers and the Egyptian magicians also did the same things to their secret arts, by their secret arts. Each one threw down his staff and it became a snake. But Aaron's staff swallowed up all the other staffs. Yet Pharaoh's heart became hard, and he would not listen to them, just as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is unyielding. He refuses to let the people go. So go to Pharaoh in the morning, as he goes out to the water, wait on the bank of the Nile to meet him. Take in your hand the staff that was changed into a snake. Then say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has sent me to say to you, let my people go that they may worship me in the desert. But until now, you have not listened. This is what the Lord says. By this you will know that I am the Lord. With the staff that is in my hand, I will strike the water of the Nile, and it will be changed into blood. The fish in the Nile will die. The river will stink. The Egyptians will not be able to drink its water. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, take your staff, stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, so the streams and canals, over the ponds, and all the reservoirs, and they will turn to blood. Blood will be everywhere in Egypt, even in the wooden buckets and stone jars. Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord had commanded. He raised his staff. The presence of Pharaoh and his officials struck the water of the Nile. All the water changed. The fish in the sea died. The Nile died. The river smelled so bad that the Egyptians could not drink its water. Blood was everywhere in Egypt. But the Egyptian magicians did the same things by their secret arts, and Pharaoh's heart became hard. He would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said. Instead, he turned, went into his palace, did the same. I mean, did not take even this to heart. And all the Egyptians dug along the Nile to get drinking water because they could not drink the water of the river. Seven days passed after the Lord struck the Nile. Let's look at 8. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord says. Let my people go so that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go, I will plague your whole country with frogs. The Nile will teem with frogs. They will come up into your palace and your bedroom, onto your bed, into the houses of your officials, and on your people, and into your ovens, and your kneading troughs. The frogs will go up on you and on your people and all the officials. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff over the streams and canals and ponds. Make frogs come up on the land of Egypt. Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt. The frogs came up and covered the land. But the magicians did the same thing to their secret arts. They also made frogs come up on the land of Egypt. Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, pray to the Lord to take the frogs away from me and my people, and I will let your people go to offer sacrifices to the Lord. Moses said to Pharaoh, I leave to you the honor of setting the time for me to pray for you and for your officials and your people so that you and your houses may be rid of the frogs, except for those that remain in the Nile. Tomorrow, Pharaoh said. Moses replied, it will be as you say, so that you may know that there is no one like the Lord, our God. The frogs will leave you, your houses, your officials, your people. They will remain only in the Nile. After Moses and Aaron left Pharaoh, Moses cried out to the Lord about the frogs that he had brought on Pharaoh. The Lord did what Moses asked. The frogs died in the houses, in the courtyards, and in the fields. They were piled into heaps, and the land reeked of them. But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, so he hardened his heart and would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, stretch out your staff, strike the dust of the ground, and throughout the land of Egypt, the dust will become gnats. They did this. Aaron stretched out his hand. The staff struck the dust of the ground. Gnats came upon men and animals. All the dust throughout the land of Egypt became gnats. But when the magicians tried to produce gnats, other secret arts, and the gnats were on men and animals. The magician said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. But Pharaoh's heart was hard, and he would not listen, just as the Lord had said. And the Lord said to Moses, get up early in the morning and confront Pharaoh as he goes to the water. Say to him, this is what the Lord says. Let my people go so that they may worship me. If you do not let my people go, I will send swarms of flies on you and on your officials and on your people and into your houses. The houses of the Egyptians will be full of flies, and even the ground where they are. But on that day, I will deal differently with the land of Goshen, where my people live. No swarms of flies will be there, so that you will know that I, the Lord, am in the land. I will make a distinction between my people and your people. This miraculous sign will occur tomorrow. The Lord did this. Dense swarms of flies poured into Pharaoh's palace, into the houses of his officials, and throughout Egypt, a land that was ruined by the flies. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, go sacrifice to your God here in the land. But Moses said, that would not be right. The sacrifices we offer the Lord, our God, would be detestable to the Egyptians. And if we offer sacrifices that are detestable in their eyes, will they not stone us? We must take a 3-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God, as he commanded us. Pharaoh said, I will let you go to offer sacrifices to the Lord your God. In the desert. But you must not go very far. Now pray for me. Moses answered, as soon as I leave you, I will pray to the Lord. And tomorrow, the flies will leave Pharaoh and his officials and his people. Only be sure that Pharaoh does not act deceitfully again by not letting the people go to offer sacrifices to the Lord. Moses left Pharaoh, prayed to the Lord. The Lord did what Moses asked, and the flies left Pharaoh and his officials and his people. Not a fly remained. But this time also, Pharaoh hardened his heart and would not let the people go. Oh, so what you see here is Pharaoh did not like the Lord at all. He had contempt for the Lord. Multiple times after the different plagues that we just read about, multiple different times, we saw that Pharaoh would be asking, you know, Moses, you know, please pray to the Lord that these frogs or these gnats or that all these different plagues would be gone. And once these frogs and everything else, the different times, once they're gone, I promise I'll let your people go. take their journey. But the last one I read about, he said, you know, I'll let them go, but I won't let them go very far. But every time, after he would say, oh, I'm going to let them go, I'm going to let them go, his heart would be hardened, and Pharaoh would not let them go. God said, God had told Moses that this was going to happen. God had told Moses that this was going to happen. He told him ahead of time so that Moses wouldn't be shocked. And at one point, in what we had just read, Pharaoh had suggested, well, you could always go through, do your sacrifice out here in this land. But then Moses explained to Pharaoh. He explained to Pharaoh that they were to go take a 3-day journey to do it in the desert. And that they couldn't just do it where they were because he felt that God did not like detestable sacrifices. And if I were to say, now, if I were to say, listeners, now that thing is detestable to me. If I were to say, like, you know, this kind of burger, or this kind of whatever is detestable. You know what I would mean? I do not like it at all. I mean, I do not like it at all. It could be beyond just I don't like it very well. It would be I do not like it at all. And be like, get that thing away from me, please. So, you see, God told him. Let me rephrase. Pharaoh just kept hardening his heart. The frogs would go. His heart would be hardened. The gnats would go. Harden his heart again. This and that would happen. After Moses would pray for relief. And Pharaoh would be like, I'm not going to let God's people go. So you see, when we deal with all kinds of circumstances that try to stand in our way, to try to keep us from our deliverance or our healing or whatever it is that we're believing for God to do in our life, that's like Pharaoh. That's like, well, I won't let you advance. I'm going to keep you bound. I'm not going to let you get free. I'm not going to let you get delivered. I'm not going to let you go worship the Lord. Things like that. That's like a Pharaoh. When we had COVID, now back at the start of COVID, 2 years ago, in so many states and so many different countries, you're basically told that you couldn't go to church, including in my own state. About a week after that, our governor here our governess, actually, governess, she had made an exemption so that it was okay. It was, you know, fine for the churches to be open. What she would not do at the time, she would not allow people to come to gather in the church and remove the penalty for those who violated the stay-at-home order. So that's why for about almost two months, my church, for example, stayed closed. That was an example of Pharaoh saying, you cannot gather. My Bible says, do not forsake ye the gathering of yourselves together, even the more so as you see the day approaching. Not less the day of the coming of the Lord approaching. It didn't say even less so. It said, do not forsake the gathering of yourselves together, even the more so. Not the less so, the more so. Meaning, what do you mean by that is, when God said that was, when you see the day of my coming approaching, it's even more important that you gather in my house. That's what Jesus said. And that was written. And they were supposed to go make a 3-day journey into the desert to make sacrifices to the Lord and then return. Now later, God would part the Red Sea for them, which we will get into soon. And I think about this as like what happened with COVID. The plan was that the church was to not open again. The plan was for the churches to be locked down permanently. That was the plan. But God had another plan. And I'm so thankful for that. Because the ultimate plan was permanent lockdown. Even with the masking thing, the plan was that we would be wearing masks permanently. Thankfully, we're not. I haven't worn a mask at a place other than at a doctor's appointment in a year and a half. In like 15 months. I hope I don't have to wear one of those again. That's a place other than maybe a doctor's office or something. Those things are disgusting. I mean, in a way, I get it, to each their own, but in my mind, they don't exactly... The mask and the COVID, it's not my point. My point is, God told them. God told Moses, you know, go tell him. Go tell Pharaoh. Let my people go, that they may serve, that they may go and worship. Pharaoh kept saying no. And then he would kind of, then God would cause a plague. And the Egyptians. Pharaoh would see relief. And then he'd be like, well, I'm not going to let him go. after vowing to let them go. So he would keep changing his mind. That'd be like what we saw with COVID. Like, oh, it'll be like just a few more days, just till cases go down, just until this, just until we get the vaccine. You know what? You know, whatever. But so God was telling Moses and Aaron how to deal with Pharaoh. They were doing what God was saying, but Pharaoh did not want to oblige. He would say in his ear, he would say with his mouth that he was going to let him go, even though in his heart he wasn't going to let him go. And he was going to just not let him go, and he was just going to be hard on him and not let him worship him. Not let them go and worship their God. Isn't going to let the Israelites go and worship. See, though we live on earth, we're not supposed to be slaves to the world. We should be following Christ, not following, you know, the world. But we should be following Christ. Amen. And because the world, they want you to be bound. God wants you to be free. God wants you delivered. He wants you happy. He doesn't want you depressed. He wants you to be happy. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word tonight. I thank you that we would just that we would always follow you and not follow Pharaoh, but that we would, the ways of the world, but that we would follow you and that we would always have our ears open to what you're trying to tell us and that we would just be obedient to you. And I give you all the praise and honor and glory for that. And now I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say that no evil shall befall us, no plague shall come nigh our dwelling. For you, Lord Jesus, you have given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. No drug or drunk driver, no rapist, no burglar, no suicide, no fire, flood, or crash, no COVID. None of this evil will come near us. We're going to live in great peace and great joy and be a powerful witness for you, Jesus. Amen. I sure love you. Amen. Until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody, and I will see you all next time.